The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Avalara. For e-commerce brands, tax compliance gets more complicated with every new channel, state, product, and market. Avalara Agentic Tax and Compliance helps automate the work behind the scenes so merchants can deliver a smoother customer experience with accurate tax calculation at checkout, clear visibility into tariffs and duties, and fewer surprises for customers when their order arrives. Avalara works with e-commerce platforms like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, and more, helping teams manage compliance faster and scale with more confidence. To learn more about Avalara's e-commerce compliance solutions and explore resources built for growing e-commerce brands, go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's June 23rd, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Shopify Edition Spring 2026. Kimberly-Clark improves supply chain productivity. Amazon CTO Peter DeSantis at VivaTech. And air freight spot rates have spiked. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Shopify Edition Spring 2026. Shopify is becoming the merchant record layer under the AI agents. Whoever wins the AI front end, ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini, the order lands in the merchant's admin and the customer stays the merchant's. Agentic commerce is the spine of connectivity. This last week, Shopify dropped its Spring 2026 editions, and there are over 150 updates. But ignore the feature count. The story is what quietly seems to be what Shopify is trying to become, the checkout layer underneath the AI agents. Let's take a look at what's shipped and not necessarily just the marketing. Checkout now runs inside Microsoft Copilot, paid with Shop Pay. Key phrase. On a universal commerce protocol Shopify built with Google. By the way, who cares about universal commerce protocol? Shopify cares a heck of a lot about Shop Pay. There's a new agentic commerce plan that Shopify announced some months back that even brands who don't use Shopify at all can use. It can sync your product, sell across ChatGPT and the Shop app, no Shopify store required. And you can now run your store from inside Claude or ChatGPT. And if you read all those things together, Shopify isn't just trying to win that AI shopping assistant, it's also trying to be the thing that every assistant plugs into. So it doesn't matter whether ChatGPT, Gemini, or Copilot, or whoever wins the front end, the order would still land in the merchant's admin, who still needs a place to manage and then route orders. The customer still belongs to the merchant, and Shopify could then stay the merchant of record. That is kind of the game. When your storefront stops being a website and becomes a row in someone's AI answer, the question necessarily isn't what your site looks like, and some of our agentic debates have talked about this. It's actually whether your product data is anywhere an agent might look and is the right format. Who owns the customer when the agent closes the sale? And to be fair, a lot of the groundwork that they shipped today was also in Winter 26 edition 6 months ago. Today, it's just more the productization of it. Copilot checkout going live, catalog opening to outsiders. That's the part that if you're an operator, you should somewhat care about, because if it's in beta, it just kind of means your competitor may already be doing it. There are two things I would watch in the release, which is interesting, something that they've paid more attention to the last few months. First is the catalog land grab. Offering catalog rails to non-Shopify brands is kind of the FBA playbook. Commoditize the layer below you and own the standard. Shopify is saying 2x conversion in AI chats. It's a bullshit number. Let's be clear. At this point, AI is a considered intent-driven thing. And so they're going to convert more because the intent is to purchase. And second is B2B. Shopify has, over the last couple of months, quietly pushed native B2B down to every plan, chasing what's been called a $36 trillion market. That consolidation play is as big as the AI one and gets a very small amount of attention. So it seems to me the platforms are trying to eat the layers of retail. And this last week, Shopify is trying to push Shop Pay everywhere using UCP as the vehicle. And they're trying to become that best implementation of the UCP standard out there in the hopes that's what will win in the agent-first world. Our second story. Kimberly Clark is banking on supply chain productivity. Here's a rule worth keeping. When a CFO stands up at an investor event and credits the supply chain for productivity, he's not talking about forklifts. He's instead defending margins and he's getting you comfortable with higher capital spending. That's what Kimberly Clark said this week, and it pays to read past the headline. The Kleenex maker says it's more than halfway through a five-year, $3 billion productivity program it started in 2024. CFO Nelson Udrinetta named three drivers at the DB Access Consumer Conference: simplifying what it makes, redrawing its distribution network, and adding automation. Those are real ways to take out cost. But he also said something next. The headline automation bet is about $1 billion going into an automated distribution center at the company's Beech Island, South Carolina site and an advanced plant in Ohio. Sound familiar? This is exactly what Walmart's doing too. And by the CFO's own account, this doesn't start paying off until 2027. So when the company says supply chain is fueling results today, meaning like the investors are fueling a lot of CapEx spend, it's still a promise. And since the robots don't earn their keep until 2027, most of what's been booked so far comes from the cheaper moves: trimming a product list, I'm sure laying off some employees, tightening the network. The expensive part is your stuff you're still waiting for. And the piece I would probably watch also is the Kenvue merger, set to close in the second half of the year. Urdaneta gave away the real logic in one line. Kimberly Clark fills a truck to about half its volume before it maxes out on weight. Kenvue hits the weight limit at about half the truck's volume, and they deliver to roughly the same stores. Combine the two, and you can do what every logistic professional wants to do: fill trucks fuller. Our third story, Amazon CTO Peter DeSantis at VivaTech. The most interesting AI take this week came from the guy who sells the chips, and it was a take against the hype. Peter DeSantis got on a stage at VivaTech in Paris on Wednesday and told the room AI is nowhere near done. This isn't a skeptic on the sidelines. He's actually Amazon's senior vice president for AI, silicon, and quantum computing. He's been at Amazon 27 years, the person who helped buy Annapurna Labs back in 2015 and turned it into Amazon's custom chip business. And his line, talking to Nick Thompson of The Atlantic, models have gotten about 10 times more efficient over the past year or two. And they still need a couple of orders of magnitude more before it gets truly interesting. And if you think about that, a couple more orders of magnitude is 100 to 1,000 times. And he's saying that the genuinely useful version of AI sits somewhere between 100 times and 1,000 times out from where we are right now. And the striking thing for an Amazon executive to say, while Amazon pours billions into data centers, hundreds of billions, by the way, look at the seat he's in. DeSantis runs the chips, and he's selling you those picks and shovels. We're at the starting line, not the finish line. That's exactly the story Amazon wants their investors to hear. He wants a long runway and a lot more investment. And one detail I came back to over and over was when he mentioned about a 40 millisecond clock. DeSantis thinks that the next real jump in AI won't come from a bigger brain. It will actually come from speed. Human conversation runs on roughly 40 milliseconds of reaction time. The pauses, little back channel noises we make to signal we're still listening. Today's models can't keep up with that rhythm. But obviously they're trying to close that gap, and it means moving past the transformer architecture that everything currently runs on and building something new. And that's kind of a quiet admission that the thing powering this entire boom has a ceiling. It seems like Google is thinking that way too, and they're one of the few companies thinking about speed and performance with regards to AI. Another reason not to count Google out. Here's where the chip business circles back. DeSantis wants chips and models designed together in lockstep so the people building the models already know what the silicon can do before it ships. He calls it a flywheel: better models, better chips, lower cost. And the proof point he offered is startups building world models, the kind of AI that simulates physics instead of generate text, running on Amazon's training and chips and getting close to double the industry average compute efficiency. So if you strip all that off, the AI chief is trying to lower expectations on what current AI can do with regards to AGI and raising the expectations on Amazon's own infrastructure. Whether he's right or not is that we're 100x away, or he's just sort of like speaking from his own experience or talking his own book. The bet underneath actually doesn't change. Sell the compute and win no matter what happens. And our last story, air freight spot rates jumping on instability. Air freight spot rates jumped 41% year over year in May, up to $3.40 a kilo. The number that frames this is 4%, which is how much demand actually grew. 4% demand raised rates 41%. Capacity grew about 1%. And a 4-point demand edge over a 1-point supply gain does not produce a 41% price move on its own. The rest is surcharges, fuel, and a whole lot of uncertainty, particularly in a few corridors, while the rest of the market is actually kind of normal. The load factor backs that up at 61%. Planes aren't bursting with cargo. Part of it, obviously, traces back to the conflict between US, Israel, Iran, which started disrupting Middle East capacity in February. The recovery from that has been bumpy, with renewed missile activity stalling it, so surcharges and fuel volatility kept pressure on rates, according to a latest read. The 41% average hides more useful detail, too, because Asia to North America is actually running pretty hot. Northeast Asia is up 39% since late February. Southeast Asia is up 33%. Europe to North America, however, went the other way over the same period, soft on returning customer passenger capacity. The same global market and a different story depending on where your freight originates from. And if you only look at the blended number, your network isn't looking at the right pricing. So, two things stop me from sort of calling the top on this market is what's actually filling the planes. The strength is pretty narrow. It's actually data center hardware and semiconductors filling the trans-Pacific lanes. You take that away and the picture gets kind of thin fast. The issue is there are hundreds of billions of going there, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon. But the second is the ocean market. Shippers have already started front-loading containers ahead of tariffs and energy costs, and air could potentially follow. Pull your goods forward to dodge a future price increase, and then you could still move and sell them later. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Neuro Robotics announced a Series C funding round of up to $1.4 billion. When, if ever, have you seen a Series C funding announcement that contains up to? Second, Ingredion will acquire UK's Tate & Lyle for $3.6 billion. The ingredient sector has been active with acquisitions and capital this year. Third, Arcade has announced it's raised $60 million in Series A for agentic security. Fourth, Adyen announced it's acquired enterprise billing platform Orb for $335 million. B2B payments consolidation is continuing. And finally, Sleep Number has entered into an asset purchase agreement to combine with Sleep Country Canada. Sleep Number's turnaround ended in a court-supervised sale. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast at the same place.